It's now time for a very dancing goddess edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass to a friend and which games to like awkwardly prayer and like watch this dancing woman. I'm a little confused by what she's doing, but also kind of playing Ninja Gaiden and pass on by something like that. I am Corey. I'm joined by the man who is not trying to get an Amazon refund while recording this, Basher.
What you should do is just say it was stolen. No, I guess Mark, everything is stolen and he's giving you a new one for free.
Look, it's cat food is one of those things where my cat is extremely picky but she's getting fat. She's having some stomach problems. So I buy her the nice fancy food because I'm not cheap.
Oh, you get the fancy feast.
Well, that's like the worst food you can buy for your cat.
It's right in the title. It's fancy.
And it was also in Austin Powers. So what does that tell you?
That is funny and fancy.
I suppose. But she's also allergic to chicken. You know what the most common flavor is in cat Christ. Food? She also doesn't have teeth. So that's what I'm dealing with here.
What is with, shout out to my friend who listens to the show, what is with you people getting the handicap half a retarded cats? Like, what? I even had a coworker whose cat passed away while we were working together. And she got very upset at my reaction to it because it was expected because the cat had one eye, diabetes, and several other issues. I'm like, yeah, like you got a dead cat when you bought it. Like, what are you doing?
Apparently cat diabetes is becoming more common now. So that's also why you're supposed to get them the natural food. But I got her the good stuff. See, she used to be on the really good stuff, but then she got allergic to chicken. She wouldn't eat anything else. And then I got her the salmon stuff.
She got allergic to chicken?
Yeah, it's a whole thing. She got all of her teeth out because she only had about half of them anyway. But then it turns out that she wasn't. So they thought she had stomatitis, which is where they're allergic to their own tartar, basically, and saliva.
Oh, my God.
But what it turns out was that she was actually allergic to chicken. So they pulled her teeth for no reason. Granted, half of them were broken and all that stuff. But the point is that I have a somewhat used car of value in this cat's mouth of something that I didn't have to do. So this has nothing to do with Capcom and Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess, that's what we're going to talk about on this episode today.
Or get a dog.
Dogs are complicated, man.
More complicated than your cat right now?
Like, I have a special cat, okay?
I'm healthier than your cat.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to really... She's okay, actually. But she won't eat the rest. Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. But before that, did you know that you can write us, let us know about your cat and her or his issues?
Don't do that, Ashley. That's so boring. Like, I hate your cats. I hate animals in general. I just like my cat.
But you have, right, you have a cat.
I like my cat. Your cats suck. Right, Bubba Booey?
Bubba Booey? What? Are you, like, sweet-talking your cat right now?
Her name is... My cat's full name is Buddy Pal Guy III, but she prefers Bubba Booey.
How do you know that she prefers it? Did you ask her?
If I say Bubba Booey, she comes over, so I'm guessing that's what she prefers. Stop scratching, thank you, dumb cat.
This is I'm very confused. 1 minute you're happy. 574-651-9256 is what you can call. You can leave us a text message. Let us know about your cat. Who doesn't love cats? Besides Basher, I guess. Kunitsugami, I like my cat. Path of the Goddess. Here are the details for this one. A new tale of Kami awaits. Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess is a unique Japanese-inspired single-player Kagura action strategy game. The game takes place on a mountain covered by defilement. During the day, purify the villages and prepare yourself for sundown. During the night, protect the maiden against the hordes of the seethe. Repeat the day-night cycle until you cleanse the mountain of defilement and return peace to the land. This is available on Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. It does have cross save, and there is no online, so none of that. I've played the Xbox version as well as the PC. You can't really go wrong with this one. It doesn't have a crazy, you know, it looks really nice, but it's all about the art more than the pixels, if that makes sense. We've got a how long to beat of 16 hours with a main and extras of 20, completionists of 34. Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. So I had zero expectations going into this one. I actually forget. Did you play this on your own, or did I tell you to play this?
So I had my eye on this one because they showed it last, not this year, but they debuted it last summer showcase, and I thought it looked really neat. And Capcom is I don't think Capcom's had a miss in a while. Like, I can't think of the last time I didn't enjoy a Capcom game. Like, I think you can maybe argue Resident Evil 3 Remake, but I don't think that's really their fault. I think they did the best they could with what they had. So, like, I'll pretty much touch anything Capcom puts out right now. But it also just looked really unique, and so I was patiently awaiting this one. So,
yeah, I gotta say, I was pleasantly surprised. I was not on board immediately, just because, as you described it, an action. How do they describe this game? Action. What kind of game now?
So it's apparently a somewhat common thing in Japan. Let's see, what was the term? Kagura, K-A-G-U-R-A, Kagura action strategy game.
Action strategy game. I mean, on paper, I'm like, I don't know. Sounds like you're trying to do a lot, but this game, surprisingly, it's not that complicated. It's not that deep, but it's super. But it's still feature rich. And having not played a bunch of these games, or I don't think any of these kind of games, like, as you describe that, I would also add, like, some sort of, like, tower defense type of game as well. Like, I was pleasantly surprised by how there were so many different moving pieces in terms of different kinds of gameplay and how they came together and actually worked for me.
Yeah, the term that keeps getting thrown around for games like this and, like, with Space Marine that's coming out in a couple days here is B game. You know, this is a B game, and it's like, I'm getting really kind of sick of that term, and like, I know that's like, that's a weird thing to get sick of, but it's like, it's not a triple A, like the budget isn't $250 million with super realism and all that. I was like, yeah, but it's still like a really solid game. So like, anyways, the point of me saying all that is when I first booted it up, like, yeah, like it lacks that modern flash that you get with The Last of Us or Gears of War. Like, it doesn't have that gritty realism thing, so I wasn't sure what to expect, but then it sort of has a nice little tutorial and it kind of leads you in, and I was like, okay, this is a nice little action game. And like you said, and then after a couple levels the strategy starts hitting, and that's where I was surprised of just how much that there is, but it just keeps going. Like, every time you go to a new area, there's a new mechanic or a new type of unit or whatever. And it's, to me, I think it's actually kind of impressive. And that's why I say, like, this whole B game thing, I'm like, I've played AAA games that are significantly worse than this and have less content.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, so, like, for me, B game just means budget at this point. Right. It doesn't have to
just
AAA
because this
budget.
Wasn't 70. Yeah. This wasn't $70 doesn't mean. Yeah. It's a budget game, because it certainly doesn't feel like it. So
no, honestly, what it feels like is, it feels like one of those games that would have been a big hit back in the PS2, PS3 era.
Right. This
for Capcom.
Random GameCube exclusive all over.
Yes, exactly. I guess it's definitely one of those. And it feels like that, like, to its heart. It's almost like someone at Capcom was just like funneling money from other projects. Instead, we're gonna make this game like secretly on the side and just release it or just showcase it when it's done, because all these things just come together and make for a genuinely beautiful game. I'm currently playing, well, just finished Black Myth Wukong, and although technically impressive, again, it's, I'm just starting to enjoy again that games are taking more interest into the actual art of the game, so that the games don't just technically look good, but they artistically look good. Because then it artistically feels good as well, because you watch this kind of princess kind of awkward, like you said, awkwardly dance down this path that you carve for her. But as awkward as it is, it's still a artistic kind of beautiful, unique way of advancing time and in this weird tower defense mechanic.
Yeah, and it's Tower defense is like technically wrong. Like, even though we're both going to say it a lot, but it's like if the, it's like if you could move the towers, because like when I think of tower defense, I think of defense grid. Like that's kind of my go-to right. one. And that's, you know, it's more of grid based, and this is not that, but like you sort of create the grid yourself, if that makes sense. But yeah, like, so like you start out with your own sort of, they only give you a couple units at first, and it's kind of your typical, like, okay, this is your defense guy, this is your range guy. That's the best way to think about it.
Yeah, you got an axe cutter and then an archer.
Right. So it's like, how can I strategically put these guys where they need to go? And then what happens is, like it says, during the day, you sort of, that's when you...
That's your plan process.
Yeah, that's your planning, but as well as later in the game, and sometimes early, that's also like your exploration process. Like they,
right?
They, I don't want to say they thought of everything, but it's not just that. Like during the day, there are things that you can discover, and there's little trinkets and power ups and stuff like that you find during the levels, and they're not overly complicated puzzles.
You actually have to do that to collect your spirit orbs, and your spirit orbs go to freeing and leveling up your units and your town, which is a whole other mechanic.
Right. And that's, yeah. And so you're always doing something. And it's not always just like fighting. Cause like I said, you're also, while you are sort of playing a tower defense, you still are playing an action game at its core. Like it's not Devil May Cry. Like don't think you're going to be pulling off crazy combos, but it's not press X to win either. You're sort of guiding and you're sort of trying to fill the gaps to where maybe you've left some holes for your, and your defense mechanism, basically. And then after that, you've also got the other side of it. Like you said, there's the sort of, what do you want to call it? Like, it's not even strategy, but, you know, your building process of the town. You can always go back to the levels that you've done to get more resources, but then you're sort of building up these other areas so that way you can kind of keep going on this treadmill of unlocking new things, unlocking new abilities, getting power-ups for everything. But then even on top of that, it's sort of this tick and talk sort of gameplay to where there's bosses as well. So, you know, it's almost like every other level you're going to fight a boss. Like you're going to do a strategy level, then you're going to do a boss level. And the bosses are kind of the more creative aspect of it in terms of getting stuff done, or not getting stuff done, but like instead of just not just playing like a strategy, like it's more action based. You're still going to get your units and all that, but it's a lot less strategic there. It's more of like trying to survive. So,
yeah, and by less strategic, it just means, like, to me in this game, that just means the tower defense mechanic falls back, and it's just more get the right units, and now it's kind of a beat them up boss time. Which again, great way to just break up that aspect of the game, because I didn't know I needed that in the game at all, you know, because I was actually pretty happy just kind of doing the rinse and repeat, go through the level, get the princess to the end, open up the door again and again. But then it's like, oh, here's a boss fight you can do, and this completely changes the game up. I'm like, oh, this is a welcome aspect of change.
Yeah, and it's from, again, and I'm not trying to like harp on it, but it's calling this a B game kind of annoyed me, because it's really not. Like, there's a lot here. And I think that was the surprising part. And maybe that's my own just expectations of, you know, listening to the internet and all that fun stuff of just calling it a B game. But it's, I think the part that surprised me the most is that from start to finish, you know, you're unlocking stuff for almost the entire game. Like, there are so many different unit types. There's so many different strategies. This is a true, you know, 20 to 30 hour game if you do anything but the main path, which you're most likely going to. I can't even imagine sort of main pathing this, just because I feel like, I don't know if you'd be at a disadvantage, but I feel like you'd be just missing out on some of the systems that are kind of the more engaging systems. But like truly from start to finish, you're unlocking new abilities as well as new mechanics and new unit types by the end. And I don't know if this is a true number, but I think there's at least, what, 12 different unit types.
Like, yeah, that's a good, there's more than 10, I feel like.
Yeah. I'm going to Google it while we're talking, but yeah, like I didn't expect that even from a budget standpoint. I just, when I saw this game, when I first started playing it, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm probably gonna have like 5 unit types at the end. You know, there's probably gonna be 8 different enemies, but no, like it just keeps going. And I was surprised by the end. And I don't know if it's a drawback, but like by the end, it's, you're juggling a lot. Like, you are truly juggling a lot, and it's not difficult, but my brain just sort of, what's the word? I wasn't ready for that level of strategy, if that makes sense. Like, I was like, as someone who's been playing Turok a lot lately, I'm like, I just want to shoot stuff. And so by the end, I was like, this is not a slight against the game. I'm just like, man, like, this game's asking a lot for me right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, it definitely snowballs, and I think in a interesting way, because you're not wrong. It is a lot, and I could see it getting frustrating, or I could see it being too much for a certain audience of people. However, for me, that slow, steady snowball of information and unit types and juggling of all these mechanics, it created for, I mean, I'm not trying to guess up the game too much, but it definitely felt like an earned difficulty, and it added to the, for me, the story that the game was telling. Like, all these villagers, like, you came all this way, you know, all these villagers to risk their lives and become these different aspects of the fight for you, whether they're axemen or sumo men or archers or magicians and everything like that. They all come together, and like at the end, it's like it's up to you to manage all of it to beat the last bad guy. And I think it definitely worked extremely well in telling that kind of story through even the gameplay for me.
Yeah, for me it was, you know, I'm gonna go back to Defense Grid a little bit, just because that was kind of my, you know, initial. Like that tower defense existed before that, and I had played, like, there was like a Van Helsing tower defense game I liked quite a bit, but the sort of ramp that, like you called it, by the end of that game, you know, like, you, even though you have everything at your disposal, like you said, the sumo wrestler and the shaman and the thief and the pre, like, it's, you really do need to know what they all do and how to utilize them properly, or you're not going to win. And that's, I did not expect that from this game. And so when you do finally finish the game, and it's, you had to earn it. Like, you truly did have to earn it. And that's a hard thing to do. I don't think it's quite a home run. I think there's a couple levels they feel a little drawn out. I think that by the end, like, I'm not even entirely sure if, like, I know what the shaman does. Like, you know, he kind of heals people, or not the shaman, the priest. I don't exactly know, like, what exactly should I be doing with the priest? Do you know? Because I don't. I feel like it's pretty one-dimensional, and I'm like, they can't be, right? Because, like, everything, like, everyone has, like, you know, one or two sort of, you know, use cases. And the priest, I'm like, I don't, what do you do?
I think you nailed it, though. I don't think it's much deeper than that, you know? I think they give you a slight passive buff, but I don't think it's anything that, it may be one of those things where it's not game changing per se. So yeah, they definitely weren't my go-to class use, but I kind of, like, messed, I mean, up, like, my, like, way, yeah, through whenever I could.
Like, I always had sorcerers, archers, and ninjas, right? Like, right. That's, you know, those are your bread and butter.
I like the sumo guys too. Like, they do some good aggro.
Yeah, for sure. And they're, and so it's, I feel like the sumo wrestler and then, like, the priest, it's like they have very, very specific use cases. And that's okay, but it's that meshing all that together, it works. But the fact that I don't know if I'm not using something correctly, a lot of that's trial and error. Like, that's just what you have to do sometimes in a game like this. But the game is so mechanics heavy sometimes that it's like, I feel like you should be helping me just a little bit more. But
no,
like, that's,
you're not wrong.
Yeah, that's might be a nitpick, you know, like, because again, like I just said, you could argue that's part of the game, figure it out. But then it beats you over the head with, like, the, you know, you first get the archer and the woodcutter, and, like, they're very particular about, okay, you should use this here, you should use this here, and then sometimes they'll drop a unit on you, and it's like, okay, I see ya. I'm like, oh, all right, well, I'll figure it out. Like, I'm not mad at you, but it's like, can you just tell me a little bit? Like,
well, I mean, there's also the you touched on it a little bit at the beginning of that. Like, there's a bit of the with the different mechanics and setting things up. There's some downtime there that I think adds up that I'm not the biggest fan of either. Like the daytime nighttime cycle. When sometimes you get into a groove and you have the units you know you're going to use, you place them where you want to place them, you still have to advance the day. I really wish there was a kind of a, instead of holding, I think it's R2, to slowly advance time.
There's like a fast forward, yeah.
Yeah, like I wish it was kind of like, all right, you done? All right, let's go. Like we're good to go, as opposed to just holding down that button.
Yeah, it'd be cool if there was just like a skip, you know?
Right.
Like just press start, press Y to go tonight, you know, something like that.
Because I feel like little things like that in the game add up for me in terms of slowing the game down more than it needs to be slowed down. Because it's already it's kind of a slow-moving action game, you know? It's not like super fast Devil May Cry stuff, but you're doing your button mashing. But so, like, I don't need the game slowed down even more with tedious things here and there.
Yeah, and it's... That's the stuff that where I've, you know, a little bit more play testing or just a little bit more time in the oven would have, I think it would have worked out. I don't even say worked out. Again, it's not a game, you know, breaking thing by any means. There's just that balance. Like most of the time it works, but every once in a while you'll go into a level and like, God, there's like what? There's like 30 levels, isn't there? Like there's quite a bit.
Yeah. Cause how long did you say it was to beat this game? Cause I don't think it's
about 20 hours, I think, for average. So.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah, so I mean, like by like hour 10 or 11, you know, again, you're still getting new stuff, but you have a pretty good handle on what you're supposed to do. But I remember there was a couple levels. It just seems like, because basically when you go to night, like the portal opens up and then the demons kind of come out and you're supposed to sort of, you take it wave by wave as the goddess is sort of dancing towards that, the end point, basically. And we say dancing, like she's literally dancing, but what it is, it's just you're moving the payload, essentially. But as she gets closer to it, you know, it you have to change up your strategy because now she's closer to the demons. And so there was a couple levels I just felt like, you know, you go through the portal and then it's like, oh, there's more. And I'm like, wait, like, are you sure about that? Because I feel like I've been playing this for like an hour.
And yeah, right.
We're still going here. Okay, cool. Like, it's fine. Like, I got over it. But it's just like, okay. Like, that's the kind of stuff where it was just kind of, I was like, you know, I could do with a little bit less of this. So, but it's, again, we're coming up with, you know, nitpick things here, but otherwise, like from a visual standpoint, from a gameplay standpoint, I don't want to give it like, you know, I don't want to say like it's a home run by any means because it's good. I don't also want to, you know, give it more credit than it's due simply because we're surprised, but no, like it's genuinely a pretty great strategy game that you don't see a lot like these ever. And the fact that it's not only good, but there's just some depth here that I don't think a lot of people are expecting is it's just kind of a welcome. You know, I don't want to call it a surprise because that's not fair, but it's very much welcome. So
I think it is definitely a surprise. This was not big on Capcom's radar. I'm not Capcom's radar, but rather it definitely feels like a game where they're putting so much money into other things that again, it reminds me of that old PlayStation era where these publishers actually took risks and gambled on things that weren't AAA titles, that weren't billion-dollar budgets. So they'll put out their Resident Evils, their Dragon Dogmas and stuff like that, but then it's like, here's a little thing on the side for you. Like we hope you enjoy it. And like it definitely feels like one of those games to me. So like, and the fact that it wasn't advertised super hard and they released it the way they did, I mean, I think it is, for me, quite the good surprise. And not the type of surprise of I thought it was going to be bad, you know, just a surprise of I'm just so happy to see just more of these quote unquote B level games being made again.
Yeah. And I think that's for me, it's for me, like not to bring in like the entire like industry right now, but I look at something like this.
Here we go.
And I look at
attacking an industry again. This guy,
I look at Space Marine and it's like, Space Marine 2, that is. Are we at the point where we're going to start getting more of these again? Because, like, I feel like the N64, like, PlayStation era, like, yes, there was a lot of there was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of small games because the industry hadn't reached that critical mass yet. But like you bought an N64 and you played Mario, you played Wave Race, you played Zelda, but like you didn't play Hybrid Heaven, you know? Like there wasn't a lot of people playing Hybrid Heaven on the N64. But then like the PS2 era hit and there was just so many games, like we talked about, like GameCube, Xbox. Like, did you play, God, what's the name of that game? The zombie game on Xbox. Oh, it's gonna drive me nuts. He always wears the shirts. Phil Spencer always wears it. I'll look it up. But there was a lot of quote B games there. And so like, you know, you played Blood Rain. Like, you don't know why you played Blood Rain, but you played Blood Rain. And or you played Bloody Roar on GameCube because that's just what you did. And then the 360 era hit and it's like, okay, now everything is just like polished AAA.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
like everything was thrown in your face and it's like you didn't play freaking Hellblade, you know, that original one, you know, like you didn't play that because it wasn't advertised to your face. You played Final Fantasy 13 and you hated it while there was plenty,
exactly.
You know,
yep.
While Lost Odyssey was out there, but you didn't,
exactly.
It wasn't thrown in your face. And so like you were missing out on a lot of those games. And it's like, I feel like we're about to reach that point again, because as somebody who's also playing Star Wars Outlaws and no ambition to finish it in any capacity. Like, I'm excited about Space Marine 2 and Kunitsugami, and I feel like I'm not alone. I feel like a lot of people are talking about this stuff, and it's like, are we going to get there again? Can we stop just like realism and Suicide Squad killed the Justice League and instead get more of this stuff? Like,
I mean I think we are seeing a switch. I mean, but the thing is, I don't think it's an industry driven switch. I think it's a player driven switch, you know? Like, more and more players are just going like, yeah, we don't want to play Concord, we don't want to play Star Wars Outlaws. We don't want to play these games. But then a Black Myth Wukong comes out and is like, is this what you guys want? Or even to a much lesser extent, like a Stellar Blade. Like,
right.
Those games just be made a lot on the PlayStation. Like, those just kind of waifu type beat 'em up games or whatever. And it's like, they just went away. And well, it's weird, like, because we were playing them, we were buying them. We just weren't buying them by the Call of Duty numbers,
right? They weren't mainstream games, and that's fine. But it's like, it seems like we just got less and less of those because all this money, like, it's the Activision thing. Like, Activision stopped making Spyro and Crash because it didn't sell 20 million units. It's like Crash 4
insane.
Did
that's,
you know, 5 million units, and they're like, eh, not enough. Or it's the Square Enix thing of like Tomb Raider reboot sold 10 million copies. They're like, eh, disappointing. And it's like, wait a minute. So like, I'm looking at the recently added on Game Pass, and it's like the most popular games are Core Keeper, Star Trucker, Expeditions, a Mud Runner game, and Age of Mythology. And it's like, that's beautiful. Like, I like seeing that because it's not Call of Duty, it's not Mafia, it's not Gears of War. Like, I like those games, don't get me wrong, but I want more of this stuff too. So
And again, I think it's mostly player driven, and you can see it even in our end of the year stuff. It's like, I remember that year Spiritfarer was a contender for us, and like, who
great
saw
game.
That coming out of the gate? So yeah, just more developers or studios or even like sub studios who are just kind of like, yeah, give me some of that extra money you guys have laying around so we can just make something under the table. I mean,
right? I look at Astrobot. That game is one of the highest reviewed games of the year, and they made it with like 60 people. It's like, let's get back to that. Truly, let's get back to it.
I mean, on a larger scale, probably the largest right now. Look at Elden Ring. I mean, that started off
right.
as Sony asking some developer to make a Skyrim type game, and it's like, yeah, we're not going to do that. We're just going to do our own thing and lie to you the entire way.
Right.
To the point where, like, you have to release this Demon Souls garbage that you weren't paying for. And it's like, oh, wait, this is the biggest game in the industry now? Yeah, it's just sometimes take the gamble, guys. To be a CB-level game, it's not a bad thing. Like, it's just because it's not the biggest advertised game in the world does not mean it's not going to be a good game for you.
Right. I look at something like the Callisto Protocol, which is a totally fine game, but because it didn't sell Dead Space 2 numbers, you know, it's a failure. And it's just like, we got to stop. Like, and that game, whatever. So that has nothing to do with Kintsugami. So I think it's fair to say, play it, pass it on. There's a good chance that if you're listening to this and you haven't played it yet, you should. You really should. So again, it's not Gears of War, but it's a dang good game, and I'm happy it exists. So, but that's going to do it. That's going to do it for this episode. When it comes to the future, I'm not even going to say anything because we're kind of playing stuff out of order when we want, where we want it. There's a lot of stuff coming out right now that's also not on Game Pass. And so I'm playing stuff like that. Like, you better believe I'm playing some Astrobot, and you better believe I'm playing some Star Wars Outlaws, and you better believe I'm not going to play any more Star Wars Outlaws. That is a totally fine 7 out of 10. Will also make your PC die for no real reason. Like,
yeah, I'm going to suggest live on air here that we might want to do an episode of things we're not playing on Game Pass just to get it out the way, because I'm pretty sure people are like, you take all this time off and you what you doing? You're not playing the games. Like, I'm playing the games. You're just not playing a lot of the Game Pass games. You know, like, right. Like I'm actually hooked on Death Must Die on Steam. Like,
yeah,
it's like
that's,
$7. Oh,
man,
it's like $6 or $7, guys. Just buy it. Like, if you liked, and I know you did, Vampire Survivors, like, just buy that game. Like, just do it.
That game, like, it's not quite Vampire Survivors yet, but it's 90% of the way there.
I'm
I don't
such
know,
a fan of that game. Yeah. Oof,
I don't know exactly what's missing yet for me. Like, it's still really good, like I said, but, like, Vampire Survivors had something to where, like, it hooked me, and I think what it is what I'm waiting for is, like, I want something weird to happen. Like, I need something weird to happen. And I don't know if it's in there or not. It might be. My gut feeling is that it's not. But I'm having a good time finding out if it's in there or not. So that's where I'm at. But no, that game's cool. Like, that game's really cool. So, but all right, what are you playing Wukong on? I'm just curious.
I got on a PS5 specifically because my cousin was interested in it as well.
Is it true that it's as, like, because I'm somewhat interested in that game, but I hear the input lag is, like, a real problem. Are you experiencing that?
So I don't feel that I am, but at the same time, I don't have anything to directly compare it to.
I will
be honest. I think there are times where I'm hitting that dodge button and it's not registering, but at the same time, I'm not playing it on, like, on my PC as well to be like, oh, that's for sure the case, you know?
So it could definitely be input lag,
but I don't know for sure. I'm 50-50 on it.
I'm becoming that person. Like, I've been playing a lot of that new Doom port, and when I play it on console, like, it's still 120 frames, and, like, it's not a lot of input lag, but I'm at the point now where I'm used to, like, milliseconds of input lag. So if, like, there's 50 milliseconds, I'm like, this is crap. Like, this is the worst game I've ever played. It feels like crap. Why does it even exist? Like, and so I want to check that game out, but I'm like, if there's rumors of input lag, I'm like, I don't get it away from me.
Yeah,
I don't want to touch it.
Yeah, there are some instances where I'm 50-50. I need to play it on another console to be for sure.
That PS5 Pro, that's what you need it for. You're gonna get Wukong on the PS5, so you get lower input lag. That's where we're at these days. So get ready to shell out $600 for that PS5 Pro.
Why is that a real thing? Like, who asked for this? Okay, whatever.
Worst generation of consoles by far. fight me on it. No, I'll fight you all day.
There is no fight. There is no fight. That's 100% correct. I don't need a PS5 Plus when you're not even making... This is... The PS5 collects dust half the time. Like, no, absolutely not.
That's going to do it for this rant on video games. Coming up next time, like I said, we're playing some Game Pass stuff. We're playing Atlas Fallen together. We're playing that co-op. A couple games that we're playing solo, and we might do some combo episodes. We'll see. But, all right, that's going to do it for this game. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with some games.
Good day, sirs.